So this Advent season, our theme has been anticipation, and anticipating today as we talk about the birth of our Savior. And we've been looking at Luke, the book of Luke, and we've been looking at key phrases in Luke 1, and this morning we're going to look at a key phrase in Luke 2. And so those phrases, just as a reminder, are, your prayer has been answered, was spoken to Zechariah. You have found favor, was spoken to Mary. I am the Lord's servant, was Mary's response. And this morning, I bring you good news. This is good news. And so we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2, specifically verses 8 to 20 this morning. Verses 8 to 20. If you don't have a Bible with you, it's page 992 in the Pew Bible in front of you. And if you do have your Bible, open up that. But just to give you the context leading up to the story that we're about to read, this is just some of the context that we know to be true. Caesar Augustus is the emperor at the time. Quirinius is the governor of Syria. There was a census that was called to the whole Roman world. Everyone had to go to their own home. Joseph and Mary go from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and Jesus is born in a stable. He was born in that stable, or a place for animals, because there was no room for him. Just a little context in that they did not have typical hotels as we understand them. So all those stories that you may have heard of days in old when there was no room for him in the inn is probably historically not accurate. Generally, you could rent out somebody's space, extra room that they had, so there was no room in the guest room for him, and so he got bumped to the kiddie table. All right, nobody got bumped to the kiddie table ever. All right, we'll work with that. He ended up in a stable, or possibly a cave, or a place where animals would be kept, and so he is placed in a manger. And this is the context. We know these things to be true. You can look this up historically. Caesar Augustus was a real person. Quirinius was really the governor of Syria. These things we know to be true. There was really a census that was made to take place. And Joseph did have to leave Nazareth and go to his hometown. And this is the context in which we find ourselves in Luke chapter 2. So read with me. Starting in verse 8, follow along. And there were shepherds living out in fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, and they were lying in the manger. Then he said to them, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured all things up and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Well, this morning, I want to look at three things from this passage of Scripture, focusing on the good news. And these are the three things I want to look at. I want to look at receiving the good news, experiencing the good news, and responding to the good news. It truly is good news. It's at the beginning of the passage, and we follow that good news throughout the rest of the story. So we're going to be looking at receiving the good news, experiencing that good news, and then what we should do with that good news. So in light of that good news, I had an interesting week this week. I started off the week like any other week. I'm in my office. First thing Monday morning, I sent out my prayer updates to all my praying people who pray for me, and I said, "Yeah, this is my list. I want you to pray for this. Please pray for that." I was gearing up for today and tonight and going over my little list of things that still needed to be accomplished, and we're doing a candle service tonight. We're going to be reading through the story and honing in on each person that's involved in the story and lighting a candle and symbolic of them. And we needed some candles. I could have called somebody and said, hey, go get the candles, but I felt like I just needed to get out of the office and drive, and I grabbed Time-A and I said, hey, come on, let's go find some candles. So we got on 59 and we're driving up to Nanuet to go to A.C. Moore because, you know, A.C. Moore has candles, completely forgetting that there's this place called Yankee Candle Factory in the mall, which was a drastic oversight that I was soon to figure out. And so we're sitting at the light on 59 in between from West Nyack and Nanuet on the hill there next to Crossfield. And just we're joking in the car, just having a good time, and the light turns green, and I start to go, and then the next thing I know, this is what happens. Yeah, oh, it was terrible. And I'm looking at Jaime, and Jaime's looking at me, and we're both like, how in the world did that just happen? I didn't see her brake lights go on. I thought I was safe distance, all that good stuff. Well, the car in front of me decided they were going to wanted to go from the left-hand lane, cut across two lanes of traffic, and take a right at the light instead of turning. And I did not see any of that. And so this was my experience. Oh, to joy. And what's really cool is I have a brother that works for Geico as an adjuster. So after talking to Geico, I called him and said, hey, what do you think I should do? And he said, send me a picture. And he's like, oh, that's bad. Yeah, that's totaled. There's absolutely nothing you want to do about that. And he gave me a bunch of good advice, and it will go to the junkyard soon. But what's great about this is absolutely nothing. There's nothing great about this. But all this to say that oftentimes we allow the circumstances of life to dictate who we are. We let the circumstances or our situations or those kind of things that we find ourselves into dictate who we are at the core of who we are. And they're not the core of who we are. They're our circumstances and our situations. But they're not who we are or who we know. And the shepherds find themselves in a very similar place at the beginning of this story. And this is just a little background. The shepherds, the context of the shepherds, just so you understand, the first people that are told about the birth of Jesus are these group of men. They had a bad reputation. They often confuse the word mine with thine, meaning if somebody else's sheep wandered into their field, whoa, look, I got a new sheep. That's my sheep. No, it's not. Finders keepers. They were considered unreliable, so much so that they weren't allowed to testify in court. This is the group of people of which the God of the universe decided to first tell about the birth of his son. Everything about their circumstance and situation would imply that they would not be the first ones to hear this good news. And in hearing that good news, if they told anybody, their story would be considered unreliable. This is the circumstance in which we find ourselves reading this story. The angel of the Lord appears to them, and the glory of God encircled them. And the shepherds were terrified. We've seen this theme, if you've been here the last couple weeks, over and over again. Every time an angel shows up, the glory of the Lord is reflecting them. This time, the glory of the Lord is encircling them, and these shepherds were rightly terrified, frozen with terror at this being standing in midair, presumably sharing this good news. Don't be afraid. We've heard this as we've read through the story. Don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. The first words spoken, because the glory of God is reflecting off of them. I bring you good news of great joy. And that good news is the gospel story. The good news, the greatest news that's ever been told, is that God himself entered space and time in the form of a human as a baby, to live on this earth, experience everything that he had created in our shoes so that he would have complete understanding of everything that we experience and we go through so that he could ultimately give his life for for you and for me. That is the good news of which this angel speaks. The first thing we see is they see this good news. And this is, you know, oftentimes the case when something happens, we'll see it somewhere. We'll see it on the life of somebody when they experience good news. Something changes about their face or their countenance. We know when people are experiencing good news. If you saw me Monday standing outside of my car at that accident, there was nothing about my countenance that said, yay, good news. But when we experience good news, something takes place in us. There's a stirring, there's a change in our countenance and our appearance when we see that good news. This is the good news. The Messiah is born. The sign that you'll be given is that there will be a baby in a manger, which had to have been confusing and strange for them. They knew all about a manger, a little stone trough for animals to feed out of. Why in the world would this baby be in a manger? Would be the first thing that popped into their minds. And while that was happening, a heavenly host appeared around that messenger. And just to help you understand this, the context of a heavenly host is the whole team, the whole army. I don't know if all of heaven, all those that worship around the throne of God made themselves known, but can you just picture this for a second? This glowing entity, humanoid-looking person is speaking to you, and all of a sudden they are accompanied by an entire host. The sky is lit up with other beings. My response would not any longer be afraid or terror. It would be terror beyond, get me the heck out of here. And they start singing, glory to God and peace on whom his favor rests. They get to see the good news, and then they get to hear the good news. The good news is that the Son of God is coming into this world for you and for me. And they have to receive that good news. They could listen, they could see everything that was going on, they could hear everything that the angels were saying. But at some point, there has to be a receiving of that good news. They could discard that good news as soon as the angels left, and they did, as quickly as they came, they're gone. As those shepherds were standing around, they could have gone, wow, that was crazy. I don't know what was in that water, but let's keep on watching our sheep. Or they could receive that good news, believe that good news, and understand that that good news was true. And so I believe at this point in the story, and having shared what we've shared over the last couple weeks, I think there is a response for those of us who have never understood this to be true for ourselves. And I think that response is, for some of you this morning, it's your morning to receive that good news in this form. This morning I choose to move from knowing about Jesus to actually knowing him. From hearing the story to allowing the story to change my life. So that this day is not like any other day. This day is not like any other Christmas Eve where we go through some kind of motion or we hear something good or we look forward to things to come, but we stop for a moment and ask ourselves, do I want to know Jesus or do I want to know Jesus? Do I understand that he was a great guy, a good person who lived at some point in the world? Or do I want to identify that he is, was, and will always be the Son of God? And so I choose to receive that good news and invite him into my life to forgive me of my sins and to live in and through me. So before we go any further, I just want to pause and just take a moment. Maybe you've heard the story many times and you've never come to the point where you wanted to receive this good news and own it for you. And if that is the case, I want you to take just the next 30 seconds and pray through this prayer in your mind. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. But if this is true of you this morning, Just read through that prayer. There's nothing special about the prayer. There's something special about the person of which we're praying to. If you prayed that prayer or are thinking about praying that prayer later, we'll have some people up after the service who would love to talk with you, to confirm that with you, to interact with you. So what happened? The shepherds go about their day, finish up their night. No, they went. They had to experience what was just spoken of to them. So their response is, let's go and see what has happened. They believed the message that was spoken to them. They didn't go to investigate to see if it was true, according to the text. They went believing that it had happened, so they wanted to see what had happened. And they believed that the message that they had received was from God, the Lord God. And so they went to investigate. They hurried, and when they hurried, they found Mary and Joseph and Jesus in that food trough, just like those glowing entities, it said. And in that moment, they got to experience the good news. They got to interact with that child. We don't get to interact with Jesus physically after we accept him, but we get to interact with him as he changes our lives. We get to interact with him as we experience his love in our daily life, so that our circumstances no longer dictate who we are with him. Who we are with him matters more than anything that will ever happen to us, in us, about us, or through us. But we have this innate thing in us as human beings to want to earn what we receive, to respond back with what we receive, because it can't be that simple. It can't be as simple as God giving himself for you and for me. There's got to be some kind of action, something that I have to do, some kind of checklist that I've got to go through in order to receive this goodness that God has given us. I love the story of the poinsettia. And I don't know if you know the story of the poinsettia, but poinsettias come from southern Mexico. And this particular region called Texco, the Texco area of southern Mexico. And the story goes, years and years and years ago, the theme that had kind of taken place and why the poinsettia got associated with Christmas. The story is most likely not a real story, but it's one that continues to this day. And it was the story of this poor young little girl named Popette. And Popette wanted to go to the Christmas service and bring something to Jesus. But she was poor and she had nothing to give to Jesus. But she so desperately wanted to. And when talking to her cousin Pedro, her cousin said, listen, it doesn't matter what you bring to Jesus. It doesn't matter what you bring to Jesus. Everything that we bring to Jesus is beautiful. And so as they were walking to the service, she found some weeds on the side of the road and she grabbed them and she bound them into a little bouquet. And she brought that bouquet and she laid it in front of the altar, symbolically giving her meaningless gift to Jesus. And as she walked away, the story goes that those weeds that she had found on the side of the road bloomed into the poinsettia. And forevermore, the poinsettia was associated with Christmas. The leaf tips are pointed, maybe symbolizing for some the nails that pierced Jesus when he died for us. The leaves red, symbolizing the blood that was shed for us. And some of them are white, symbolizing that he washed our sin whiter than snow. It's just a story. It's probably not true, but forevermore, every time the people in the village saw a poinsettia, they were reminded of what Jesus had done for them. And so forevermore, the poinsettia was associated with Christmas, and it found its way to America in the 1830s. Oftentimes we want to experience Jesus based on our actions, and the reality is that we experience Jesus based on his actions, what he has done for us, and not anything that we could do for him. His gift, the gift of his life, is greater than anything. And so, no matter what we do, no matter what we say, no matter how we respond, when we respond to Jesus, he finds it all beautiful. He finds it all beautiful. And so the response of these shepherds, who are discounted by the world, considered unreliable, untrustworthy, what do? They go and spread the good news to anybody that would hear them. And these people who are generally not listened to and generally considered unreliable, the response of the hearer was amazement. There's something different about the story that these shepherds are telling than ones they normally tell. Could it be possible? Could this be truth that the Messiah, the Christ, the one we've been waiting for, actually has come? Mary's response is to treasure all these things in her heart and ponder them with joy. And as the shepherds go, and as they share that good news, their response is to glorify and praise God. They were forever changed. Notice that their circumstance didn't change. They're still shepherds. They go back to that field, and they're still with their sheep. Nothing about their circumstance has changed. What has changed now is who they know. What has changed now is who they know. We will experience all kinds of terrible experiences here on planet Earth before our time is finished. And we can allow those circumstances to dictate who we are. Or we can allow who we know to dictate who we are. So this, I believe, is the response for us this morning. If you've already received that good news and it's living and breathing in your heart now, then we have an obligation to respond, not because we have to in order to receive the love of God, but because we want to because of the love of God, to share that good news, to glorify God, to praise him for who he is and what he's done. But it's not a one-time only deal. It's an everyday deal. And so I wake up this morning, on this Christmas Eve morning, and I go out to my garage, and I see the space where that green car used to sit and is no longer there. I get sad. I mourn the loss of that beautiful car that was given to me. Or I mourn it, but I don't allow it to change the truth of who I know. Let's take this day, this Christmas Eve day, and allow who we know to dictate who we are and where we go. Let me pray for you. Lord Father, simple truths, maybe. life-changing truths, yes. Lord, I pray for everyone sitting here. Whether this was the first day of them acknowledging Jesus as Lord, or whether it's the 15th year, or the 20th, or the 40th, or the 80th. May who you are in a relationship with you forever change us. May we be filled with joy and peace and hope as we receive your love. In the name of your Son, Jesus, I pray. Amen. I'm going to ask us to stand and to respond the same way the shepherds did, by praising and glorifying God as we finish out this morning.